podcast is really not cost prohibitive compared to where you can invest your dollars in the rest of the industry. I think it's really good value for your money. To put it into perspective, a webinar with one of the big names in the industry will run you $10,000 to $15,000, and maybe you'll get 100 to 200 people show up. Whereas you can get that kind of listenership on each episode of your podcast, if you're doing it right, and maybe more, for a fraction of the price. So, you know, and it's about the same amount of work.
That was James Ada talking about podcasts as an economical digital content avenue to reach an audience. James is the director of strategy and business development at Metacomp Systems and is a producer of the company's podcast, Tell Me Where It Hurts, a show that is part of our Healthcare Now Radio network. James has a fascinating story to tell, talking of his entry into health IT at the age of 19, his passion for digital media, and his approach to getting senior leadership on board to launch a show. You're listening to What's My Tagline, a podcast focused on conversations around marketing, PR, social media, and more in the healthcare B2B space. I'm your host, Carol Flagg. And now let's hear more from James Ada. James, welcome to What's My Tagline. We've been talking about having you on the show, I think, since before HIMSS. And so it's glad to have you here finally in the house, as my friend Jared Johnson likes to say. So, before we chat a little bit about the world according to James. As you know, the first question of all my guests is, if you had to describe yourself as a tagline, what would it be?
So I gave some thought to this one, and I think I'd say strategic new media innovation adventurer.
Strategic new media innovation. No, say that. I'm sorry. One more time.
One more time for the top.
One more time for our audience.
It's a mouthful. It's a mouthful.
Carol Flagg, right?
Yeah. Strategic new media innovation adventurer.
Oh, it's a SINMIA.
Sure.
That's the acronym. So first of all, I love the new media idea. And I know you probably a little better than I do a lot of our guests, I would say. So talk about that new media angle and the equation to the adventurous side.
Yeah. And so, to unpack it a little bit, you know, I come from a business school background. I have been in the health IT space since I was in my teens, but I've always really been interested in new media, whether it's, you know, web, podcasts, video, anything that is kind of spread through electronic versions has always been really exciting to me. I mean, particularly the podcast channel. I've been very excited about it, and I've created several podcasts, had a running YouTube channel, very popular YouTube channel and blog for a long time. So I've just really been into new media for years and years and years. In the innovation side of the house, I come from a long line of entrepreneurs and innovators. And so it's probably also why I'm so interested in new media, is just because, you know, I'm constantly kind of looking out for what's a cutting edge new technology and how to apply it to whatever it is I'm doing in my day-to-day life or new opportunities. And I like to take everything sort of with an adventurous approach. I mean, you don't want to take anything in life too seriously. There's enough to force you into that as it is. And I love to travel. I love trying new things. I love exploring. And so I try to apply that in my business practice as well.
Yeah. You've touched on quite a few things that we're going to talk about today, including Tell Me Where It Hurts. You're the producer of that particular podcast for Metacomp Systems. But also that what you said about being in health IT since you were a teenager. So you're sort of, in my opinion, kind of like health IT royalty. You know, you've been, I mean, really, you know, and I'm in all seriousness. So just give us a brief bio, because there's a reason why I say that. I mean, I think when our audience hears your story, they'll understand why I said that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I really look back, like my family's been in health IT since health IT started, really. We've had several companies in the space, billing companies. We had a clearinghouse for a while. And sort of immediately after I finished business school, well, I was working part-time in those when I was in the, in high school and so on. And then as I finished business school, I kind of got thrown into that head first and was tasked with, as a product manager, building a billing system for the United States from scratch. We had one of the first EMR companies. It was a company called MedCommSoft, based in Toronto, but servicing all of the United States as an ambulatory EHR. One of the first to be certified, award-winning EHR product, and I built our billing system from scratch, and it went on to win awards, and then I'm eventually moved on to be the product manager there for several years. And that was really my kind of getting thrown into the fire of health IT and having to understand standards and this and that and how it all worked, and the first iterations of interoperability, the first iterations of certification. The company I worked for now, Metacomp Systems, at the time, this is going back, we're now in 2001-ish. MedCommSoft, the EHR company that I was working for then, we were one of the first licensees of Metacomp's, my current employer, technology. And so that's kind of how I got really a very quick training in the industry and having to understand, how all of this stuff works and really on the ground dealing with our customers, solving all sorts of problems there. That was my exposure to the industry, starting way back then. And so I guess at this point, it's completely ingrained in my blood,
Royalty,
I
see that?
think.
Oh, such a nice tie back to health IT royalty. Yeah. See, that's my tagline for you, James Ada, health IT royalty.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you.
So James, you obviously do a lot of different things for Metacom Systems, and one of those things, getting back to your tagline and this idea of new media, one of these things was your idea that you wanted to have a podcast for the company, which a lot of companies are getting into. Healthcare, of course, is a vertical that does tend to sort of perhaps lag behind other verticals in the digital space or new media space. When we talk about content marketing and the things that you've been doing, YouTube productions and video productions, and of course you have a history of podcast productions. Tell me, how did that conversation go with the senior leadership and with the host, Dr. Jay Andrews? How did that conversation go when you said, guys, we're going to do a podcast?
Well, I guess to answer that question, let me take a step back first. I've been working at Metacomp Systems since 2000 and I want to say 2009. And back then I was a product manager. I'm of course still interested in all of this kind of stuff, but I was doing a lot of work international, and so I moved back to my hometown for a little while and changed jobs and stayed close to the health IT industry. I mean, I guess I was kind of still in it a little bit, but I was working for agency for a while, and it was an innovation agency. It's called Idea Couture. And one of the things that we were doing there was a ton of new media stuff on behalf of customers. We were creating all kinds of different types of content, marketing materials, experimenting with all sorts of different ways to engage audiences, to engage a customer group, et cetera. And at that time, I was also, you know, as a side gig, I had a with a partner of mine, a very popular YouTube channel. We had, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers on our YouTube channel, a blog. And so I got really and monetized all of those things. And so I really got kind of embedded in all of this new media stuff through that, and became an expert in YouTube, became an expert in running websites, became an expert in a podcast, because I actually ended up producing a couple of podcasts while there. And so really got a good understanding of what are the possibilities there in terms of why you do these things, how do you leverage them, how can you engage with an audience through that, how can you have a relationship with an audience through that, how can you can engage with a customer base through all of that. And so, you know, all of this became really interesting to me to apply in our awareness side through Metacomp. When I moved back to Metacomp, and that was, I moved back to Metacomp, I think in 2016. And so I started, you know, right away thinking about how can I apply all of these learnings to our small business? I mean, you know, Metacomp is not a huge company, and we're, I think, pretty selective with how we want to spend our marketing dollars. And so, you know, one of the first things that I did was try to set up our executive leadership team as thought leaders. Our CEO, Jay Anders, our chief medical officer, our chief technology officer, et cetera, first through blogs and working with our marketing company, a PR company, to do thought leadership pieces in various different publications. So that was kind of the first foray of that. And through that, each of those folks were having conversations with, you know, various different journalists and other thought leaders on webinars, on, you know, all different types of interviews. So they were getting exposed to this type of media. And I think actually they'd been on several of podcasts at Answers Media Network and radio shows and all that kind of stuff. And so that's how we got first exposed to you all. And I think there was some sort of, you know, looking into, hey, what's the possibility of us maybe having some kind of regular conversation with some of the guests there? And then I'm not exactly sure how that translated, but I remember going, you know, we can do this. I've produced podcasts before. This is not, you know, rocket science.
Aha.
Yeah. And going, okay, well, I think really what it's about is figuring out, number one, what do we want to talk about? Number two, is there value that we can give to an audience on the other side? If we have something interesting to say that actually people want to hear, or they're going to learn something, et cetera, how would we format that? And if we were going to interview or have guests, you know, instead of just us talking all the time, because that gets rather boring, I think, if we're going to include other people from the industry, and we happen to just know a lot of really interesting people in the industry, who would we want to bring in? And so that's kind of how that started. And we said, you know, we think we can do this. Maybe we do a run of 6 episodes to see if that works. What would the timeline for each episode be? Okay, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour feels right. And what is this going to cost us to try? And, you know, a podcast is really not cost prohibitive compared to where you can invest your dollars in the rest of the industry. I think it's really good value for your mm-hmm. money. You know, to put it into perspective, a webinar with one of the big names in the industry will run you $10,000 to $15,000, and maybe you'll get 100 to 200 people show up. Whereas you can get that kind of listenership on each episode of your podcast, if you're doing it right, and maybe more, for a fraction of the price. So, you know, and it's about the same amount of work. So that's kind of how I framed it to our executive leadership. And they said, okay, yeah, we'll try this. And, you know, here we are, not quite a year later. And it's been, I think, quite successful for us on a number of different angles. I mean, the relationship that we can have with those guests that we're bringing in, and it gives us a reason to talk with them, to, you know, bring their message up to maybe people that they that wouldn't have listened before, you know, amplify their message and give them a platform. And now we have various different people that we haven't talked to before reaching out to us out of the blue, mm-hmm. saying, hey, you know, we hear you guys have a podcast. It sounds it's been pretty good. We'd love to have our senior leadership on there or our people in there. You know, do you have space for us? So, you know, I would have to say it's been quite successful. We've had great leadership listenership so far. Our team has been really happy with this whole process from start to finish. And it's been amazing to work with you guys. You know, you've been really great to us, very professional, very helpful. We only have wonderful things to say about
you. Oh, you're so great. I, as I mentioned in my intro, the show Metacomp Systems, that you produce, the show name is Tell Me Where It Hurts. And I did in full transparency say that you are in our network and we did help you launch it. that aside, yes, you're part of the Healthcare Now Radio umbrella. You're one of 33 shows that are in our network. But I'm going to harken back to your tagline, because you have this, you're talking about the guests that you alluded to, you in my opinion have this sort of no fear adventurous approach to guests. Nobody is too big to be on Tell Me Where It Hurts. You're with the White House, got to be on here. You know, you're with this organization, you got to be on here, you know, and that really speaks to I think the success of the show. I mean, for sure that the plays and the exposure that you've gotten is the hard work that you and Dr. Jay Anders have put into it as a host, but also reflective of the conversations and the kind of people you're talking to.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, part of that comes from, you know, Metacomp has a pretty unique place in the industry. Being not an EHR vendor, we're a middleware vendor that you know, is providing technology to the rest of the industry. And because of that, we get exposed to people that we otherwise wouldn't. I mean, and the other side of that is that, you know, my role at Metacomp, and you mentioned that there's several different hats that I wear. One of them is a business development role. And so my job is to go out and speak to people that we otherwise wouldn't have had a relationship with. And so, you know, to do that effectively, you can't have too much fear. Right. You're not going to get very far. But it is that adventurous side too, you know. We had some contacts in the White House that I've known for years and years, of friendships that I've cultivated over years and years because of, you know, there were people that I respected in the industry and liked and wanted to be friends with. And when the appropriate time kind of presented itself, I said, why not? This would be super cool. And they said, yes. We haven't really had any kind of relationship with Mickey Tripathi, the current chair of ONC, you know, the national coordinator himself. But, you know, through some of those channels, we had a sort of connection to him. And I was able to just sort of reach out and say, this is what we're doing. We'd love to be able to talk to you. Would you be interested? And he emailed me directly and said yes. So sometimes you just have to kind of go with that gut and shoot for it. It's one of those, you know, was a ring Wayne Gretzky saying, you can't score if you don't shoot, right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. So podcast is going great. What else is going on with Metacomp? I had a great pleasure of seeing you and hanging out with you at HIMSS in Las Vegas, albeit a smaller conference than normal. You've already said, you know, Metacomp Systems is sort of that middleman and not like the biggest company out there, but highly, highly successful. And there are reasons for that.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, one of the things that Metacomp kind of looks at themselves as doing one thing and one thing really well. You know, we have a clinical data engine that is used inside lots of EHR systems as sort of the basis of clinical documentation, but also being able to get the right data to a clinician at the point of care when they're trying to do their work. And, you know, I think that we do that very well. And our new suite of tools, Quip, we've been working on for quite a while, and through a number of different market forces and just work that we've been doing, we're finally sort of seeing the fruits of that with some large vendors. And we just announced a partnership with CPSI,
yes, the,
I think, fourth largest inpatient EHR and HIS vendor in the industry. They just announced that they're going to go with all of their products. They've been a number of different EHR products, and they're standardizing on our platform for all of their EHR products going forward. They'll probably, I think they have an initial piece of that going into market soon. And then there are other pieces, you know, after that. I don't want to say anything that's not public knowledge on their side. So, but they're going to move, I think, pretty aggressively on that front. And, you know, you can hear the excitement when their executive leadership talks about what we're doing, in being able to be a platform for, you know, their next generation of tools going forward that really address providers' needs, to make, you know, these EHR systems a tool and bring something to them rather than a task in getting them the data when they need to be able to do their documentation and care for the patient and have all the compliance and building and interoperability stuff just sort of naturally as a byproduct from that. The other thing is, you know, with the Cures Act now being on top of everybody's mind, it's you know, pretty much every customer that we've talked to or potential customer that we're talking to, everyone is sort of heads down in dealing with the requirements of the Cures Act, which is really going to enable interoperability in the next little while. And what we're seeing from that angle is that we have a product called Clinical Lens, which enables you to kind of take data from whatever source, run that through our clinical data engine and see problem-oriented views of that data. So, you know, in the not too distant future, and we've been talking about this for a while, that we call the tsunami of data that's about to happen is as these floodgates of clinical data start opening and data really truly does get shared, you as a clinician or as an organization are going to be responsible for that data. And if you have that data and you have a patient in front of you, you know, maybe you haven't seen this patient for a while, how are you going to find what you're looking for? How are you going to be, you know, how are you going to know what to ask? What are the different values and related to a specific condition that you need to know about? I mean, you know, doctors don't have a ton of time with the patient in front of them or right before the patient in front of them. That's an enormous amount of pressure to put on them. And it's kind of an unintended consequence that people have to think about. So some of these organizations are seeing that and trying to figure out how they're going to address that. And, you know, Clinical Lens is the perfect tool to solve that problem that I think some organizations haven't even realized is coming. And so,
right.
You know, for us, that's been really lucky. In addition to CPSI, we've got Holy Name Medical Center in New Jersey.
They decided,
yeah, that's a really amazing story because
it is an amazing story. Yeah. No, it is. Yeah. Jessica Cox. Woohoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, she is.
People need to check out that episode, by the way. Tom Hertz, seriously, that was a great conversation.
Yeah, I mean, just really quickly to kind of cue that story up. Jessica Cox, she was actually a customer of ours from another company that she was working for. She started working for Holy Name Medical Center, I think 2 or 3 years ago, and they were evaluating HIS systems. They're a private Catholic hospital. They had some of their homegrown EHR kind of functionality, not entirely, but some of it. Others were kind of best of breed that they had that they were using. And they had decided, you know, we need to figure out what our next generation of functionality and products is going to look like. And after an extensive evaluation of what was out in the industry for a number of different reasons, they said the off-the-shelf stuff just didn't work for them. I'm sure some of that was financial, functionality, et cetera, et cetera. And so they reached out to us and said, hey, we're going to go and build our own system from scratch. And we think that Quip has what we need. Medicom, you know, through the Quip product software development kit has what we need and the engine, all of that to get them, their clinicians, the right data at the right time, like I was talking about before. And in about a year, During the middle of COVID, they built their own homegrown system, starting with the ED, which I think is the most difficult place to start from, but that's what they wanted to do. And within a year, they went live. They went live on that system May of this year, to great success. Their providers love it. You know, their data people love it. They've rolled it out in their ED, and then they're going to sort of move from there. But it's an unbelievable success story. It's all, I think, Azure based in the cloud. I think what they're going to see in terms of outcomes, efficiency, we're going to start seeing the data coming out of that shortly. We're hoping that they'd be able to tell their story at HIMSS 22. We'll see if that's a possibility, but it's really a phenomenal story. And Jessica Cox lays it out really, really well in her episode of Tell Me Where It Hurts, if you want to hear more. Yeah. That's where you need to go to find out.
It's so crazy. You know, a homegrown system. It's like so circa 2007, you know, it's just like, who would have thought, right?
Who would want to do that now after all of these, you know, certification requirements and all this stuff and all the different pressures that are on a system now, but it shows you the need that it exists there, the sort of void in that, in that market, you know, below the sort of top tier systems that charge an enormous amount of money for specific functionality. I think underneath that there is an opening and a need. And they, you know, I've seen their system. It's pretty amazing what they've been able to do.
James, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You can learn more about James Ada and the podcast Tell Me Where It Hurts at MedicomSystems.com. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at HealthTechJames and on LinkedIn. Learn more about this show on the programs page at HealthCareNowRadio.com. Have a guest or topic suggestion for the show? Send me an email at Carol@HealthCareNowRadio.com or message me on Twitter @CarolFlagg or on LinkedIn. Until then, I want to know, what's your tagline?